Back on the couch. God's couch. Yeah. All right, let's go back to the couch. We are in a series called In My Feels. All right, and so in this series, what we're doing is navigating the spectrum of our emotions from a biblical point of view. So if you were here last week and if you were watching online, we talked about I got anger issues last week. And so if you were paying attention, does anybody remember the things of the 4 points that was given on how to deal with anger? Number one, you had to see it. Number two, you had to do what? Delay it. Let me hear you. Number three, control it. And then four. Yeah. Okay. We had some that was paying attention. Amen. Jesus. Y'all just give y'all money to therapists, don't y'all? Don't listen to that. All right. So we talked about anger last week. This week, we're going to talk about it. Let's come back on the couch. I was on the couch this week dealing with another emotion. I want to talk to you from talking about the emotion of jealousy and envy. All right. I want to talk to from the subject entitled, Don't Be Jealous. Don't be jealous. All right. So let's go here. Let's go to James 3, verse 15 and 16. As they get me adjusted and everything. All right, verse 15 says, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. This is what he's talking about, these three, all right? For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, this was my memory verse for the week, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. All right. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition. Come on. There you will find disorder and evil of every kind. All right. Let's sit on the seat. Oftentimes when we see jealousy and envy mentioned in scripture, ladies and gentlemen, it is really talking about the term covetousness. Covetousness, or to covet, is to want after what is another's. Some of us, if you lived and you're on the same earth, we didn't all know people who have been coveting from a very far. Even at times we could find ourselves coveting for various different things. Social media, ladies and gentlemen, is not the problem, but social media only heightens what's already in us. It only heightens the way we may feel about ourselves when we see that somebody's doing something that we were perceived that we should be doing. What I find interesting is that jealousy and envy are siblings. Where there is one, the other is around. They are the perverse children of a toxic mix of anger, anxiety-based insecurity, and an obsessive habit of comparing oneself with others. There is also a root of fear in most jealousy, okay? The fear of losing the love or praise of one subject of love or affection, all right? I think that's the next thing right there after that, so that they can see that. What is jealousy? So that's pretty much what jealousy and jealousy and envy is. Jealousy is the fear that something one has attained will be taken. It involves a triangle, three people, one of which is the jealous. And I think envy is after that one too. So to be envy is to want what someone else has, an outgrowth of desire and a result of sinful patterns. Now, in my time of studying and thinking about this word for today and thinking about jealousy and envy and looking in my own life and seeing how different ways that may have manifested itself, I asked my question, is jealousy really a bad thing at times? Is jealousy an evil result, or is it an evil act of God? Or, because what kind of confused me for a second was, well, the Bible says that God is a jealous God. That made me think, so if God is jealous, then it can't be evil because there is no evil in God. So why do we have this idea all the time that jealousy is always in the negative connotation. Because we have to understand whether our jealousy is from a godly place or a selfish place. Exodus 20, verse 4 through 5 would tell us today that you must not make of yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. Stop right there. The sin is making an idol of anything else. This is what God is telling the children of Israel. You making idols out of everything and worshiping that, and they're not due for that. That does not rightfully belong to them. So the sin is giving anything worship or attention that does not belong to the true God. That's the sin. And so what does it mean that God is jealous in a sense? It is not that God is jealous or envious because someone has something he wants or needs. Because God is self-sufficient. All right. What does it mean? It is a different use of the word jealous, because when God says he is jealous, it means that he is jealous of what belongs to him. Worship and service belong to him alone and are to be given to him alone. This type of jealousy is not sinful. Rather, it is entirely appropriate. Being jealous for something that God declares belong to you is good and appropriate. Jealousy is a sin when it is a desire for something that does not belong to you. Worship, praise, honor, and adoration belong to God alone, for only he is truly worthy of it. Therefore, God is rightfully jealous when worship, praise, and honor or adoration is given to idols. Does that make sense? Now, let me make it more sense. Let me bring it practical. Can I come down your street? Even more, a lot of times this type of jealousy is used in the context of a relationship, a marriage. I'm going to tell you this. If another dude is flirting with my wife and laying it on, and you don't have no type of jealousy about, oh, hold up, shorty, what you doing? Yeah. If you don't have nothing, he don't love you. She don't love you neither. She don't really love you. If they don't got some type of jealousy that, yo, you, all right, it's okay to say she look good and all that stuff, but you laying it on a little dick there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you and yourself, that's right. And if you and yourself are not like having some type of jealousy, like, oh, okay, not from a sinful place of possessiveness, but you have to realize, I'm talking about in the marriage context, if you... If they don't have no type of love, then they don't love you. They don't love you. If they don't feel any particular way that somebody is doing that, and they be like, oh, no, that ain't always true. No, they don't really love you. That's the truth. If they don't really love you like that, because that is a healthy type of jealousy. Wow. Not in a jealousy that's possession, be like, you mine, you can't talk to nobody, da 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 da. That's not that. You got to differentiate the two. But that, my friend, is what in the marriage that rightfully belongs to me.
Yeah.
Now you can get on something that don't belong to me. I don't care. Do your thing. But that girl right there, lady, oh, that's mine. And I'm hers. She's like, I saw how she was looking at you like that. I wasn't looking. You can look, but you can't touch. Touching gonna cost you. It may come from a black eye from her. I just can't help you.
Break it down.
I can't help you. But you have to understand that this right here, in this context of jealousy, that is where we come and have, that's more of a godly type of jealousy. But the one that all of us struggle with, because you have to understand what is the difference between godly jealousy and ungodly jealousy is who's the benefactor. Who's the benefactor? In godly jealousy, God is the benefactor, because all things point to him as the for him to get glory. God gets glory out of your relationship, out of married couples and all that stuff, and fulfilling his will. That's glory. But ungodly jealousy, ladies and gentlemen, we are the benefactors of our own covetousness. That's where it becomes selfish. That's where it becomes unholy. And I said to myself, ooh, that's a little harsh there. Because that's what we got to understand, that that's the place where we sin. What are the causes of envy and jealousy? What causes those things? Let's go down the list, shall we? Dissatisfaction with God's provision. Ooh, that's a cause right there. The person may see only what God hasn't provided rather than what he has provided. Yeah. Number two, comparison to others. Woo! That's the one right there. That's the one that gets us. That's the one right there, comparison. Why my life ain't like theirs? Why did I get held these deck of cards in life? Why does it don't seem like they just, hey, I'm holy and they living unholy. It seems like they're getting better than me. Come on, somebody. We all been there. If let me tell you something, I'm going to tell you like John said, if you say you haven't sinned, you a lie. If at one moment you didn't have the comparison game, you a lie. Live long enough, you'll feel a certain type of way on a day or two. Maybe a month. You don't know where you're at. I'm just telling you that sometimes this right here is from early on. Many have been conditioned to see themselves only in comparison to others. Being smarter than, not as attractive as, more popular than, and so on. Even in our growing up in our school, a school from K to 12 and all of those types of things, it's always been a game of who is better than, who has this popularity, how can I do that? And then what we do is we try to fit in because we don't like where we are. From even beginning. Number three, pride. Woo! Pride right there. Our little pride get hurt. That causes our envy. Why? Because envy is driven by the false notion that a person deserves to have a life focused on his or her own personal gain and satisfaction. No, God, I have the right to do that. I have, no. I deserve this because I did that. I did this. I. Everything is driven by what I thought I did, and I should be that. And that contributes to that. And let's all be honest. Number four, another thing that contributes to it is low self-esteem or seeking significance. And a lot of this happens a lot early in life. In your childhood, in your adolescent years. Right here, when I've noticed when people have not grown up in a home that affirmed them, this right here is a big problem. That triggers and what happens is that it triggers and moves into every part of your life, in your work life, in your relationships. That's why people get into toxic ones, because they don't understand their value. They don't understand how God esteems them and how, because God esteems you, then that means the person with you should also esteem you. That everyone is a human being and they are deserving of respect and honor and dignity. When people don't feel good about themselves, they will constantly seek to soothe their pain by seeking significance in their circumstances rather than finding their deepest needs met by Jesus Christ. Number five, ladies and gentlemen, value of worldly gain. People may seek money, status, appearance, talents, or achievements as evidence of their value and place in the world. That things make me who I am. This is what causes envy and jealousy, because if I'm not getting esteemed for such gain, I'm going to be envious of those who are. Expressions of envy and jealousy. Let's go here. How does envy and jealousy express themselves? Number one, we start showing resentment to others. We start showing resentment. See, you have to understand that envy is very subtle. It's very subtle. It don't start off like you think that you a hater, but you are. You are. Oh, I got haters. No, you a hater. Well, no, you have your hating moments. Not that you're a hater, but you do have your hating moments. We all do. That's why I sat on the couch. Don't feel so bad. I got it first. Here we go. Resentment towards others. The person may be highly critical and judgmental of another person or persons. Number two, competition. in relationships, trying to compete against brothers and sisters competing, husband and wives competing against each other, cousins, rivalries, all of that stuff. Who got the best potato salad? I did. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Oh, no, our household is better. No, we going to have to stand out before them, you know. Auntie so-and-so always want to be like, she got the best. Ah, I got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it works. That's the truth. The desire to be the top dog in relationships may be indicative of a struggle with envy. The person may exhibit a drive towards overachievement and exhibit a superior attitude towards others. Number three, we all be honest, sometimes we can feel depressed. It can express itself through depression. The person may become highly self-critical because he or she has not achieved what is desired or what the other person has. Here it is with depression. Sometimes we put people as benchmarks. And we try to have our lives live up to that benchmark. And when we feel like we're not meeting that benchmark, we begin depressed. How could they handle all of this and I can't even handle that? This person did this and I'm not even that. So what happens is that starts sinking in. Because let's be honest, everybody, I know we say this, not everything on social media is real, but there are things that are real. I know we try to do that to soothe how we feel, but let's be honest, there are people who are balling. There's not all scammers out here. And then we put people as that benchmark and like, man, I gotta be that. And the moment you don't see yourself reflecting that, you start having trouble. It starts really sinking in. Here we go, and here it is, a lack of contentment. We live in a culture in which media bombards us with false notion that achieving more material gain will lead to greater happiness. A person struggling with envy is rarely content with what God has provided. I'm going to talk about that later in detail. Another one is gossip with others. Now, that's going to express itself. Envious people constantly criticize the object of their envy. Y'all know y'all got group chats. You got group chat. Get on the phone conversations. We all have done it. This is sobering us. Why? Because it's the truth. One of these we've expressed our own jealousy and envy through. Then the last thing is dissatisfaction with life. People who are jealous often have thoughts of, if I only. Well, if I only had what she had, I could do that. That right there you have to be careful for, because that if I only is based upon a lot of factors. Yeah, if you had that, if I only, that doesn't mean that you had the same drive that person had. So you can play the if I only game and all of that, and that stuff is great, but at the end of the day, when the dust settles, yeah, if you got dealt the same hand, it's not always true that there would be the same turnout. And we have to stop telling people that it would be, because that's not true. You can give five people the same amount of cards, put them all on fair, equal ground, and I guarantee you all five of them will not do the same with the opportunity. Why? Because it's a mentality. You have to understand, it comes down to your mentality. So let's spell out envious. I like this here. I'm about to give us some points and we're going home. And then you can get off the couch and begin to ponder all of these things. Envious, here we go. Envious, E, encourages envy in others. Boastful. The N stands for needs to put down others. Critical. V stands for vengeful, feelings towards others, resentful. I, internal pain over the success of others, begrudging. Overachiever is the O, competitive. U, unfulfilled desires or cravings, meaning you're greedy. S, ladies and gentlemen, is self-exalting, meaning you're demanding. Jealousy, ladies and gentlemen, I like what Proverbs 27 verse 4 says, anger is cruel and fury overwhelming. But who can stand before jealousy? Because J is judgmental of others. Performance-based acceptance. E is exclusive expectations, not allowing outside relationships. A is anxiety slash anger over potential loss, threat of losing relationship. L is for leaning on the identity of others, emotionally dependent. O is overly possessive of others. That's the problem. That's when jealousy is ungodly, when it's controlling spirit. That's not of God, because God is not a controlling spirit. Hear me. That's the difference too. Unable to trust God. That's insecurity. Suspicious of the normal behavior of others. You distrustful. Because somebody did one thing, then now you're looking at them. I don't know. All of you are in the same boat. I hope you know. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. This is what it says. For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? I'm asking the question that Paul asked the Corinthian church, because they were always trying to put Paul and Apollos against each other. We like Apollos. He's more polished than Paul. Paul said, I don't care. You doing that shows where you are. You're still carnal. You are carnal. You're not supposed to be carnal. You're supposed to be spiritual, because the spirit is living in you. And the spirit of God being in you now should be maturing you out of envy, strife, and divisions. But when you behave in that manner, you're behaving in your carnal state instead of really behaving in your state as spiritual believer, reborn again. So how do we deal with the emotion of jealousy and envy? Number one, let's just go there. You got to be honest. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. What I had to do as I was getting to study this, I needed to confess where I found myself to have jealousy and envy about certain things in my own life. You need to confess your heart attitude towards God. Because a lot of times as believers, why we're jealous and envy, it don't really have anything to do with the person per se, as much as that we have a problem with God. In my findings and in my dealings, and if I be honest, the real reality is that most of this stems from what God is not doing for me. What God is not doing, or what I think he should be doing towards me, or liking what he's doing for that person, and I want that, instead of being content. You got to be honest. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But here's the part: to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to cleanse us from that unrighteous place of jealousy. What you don't confess, he cannot cleanse. That's why the Christian life is about constant confession, constant repentance. Because why? We're trying to not be in our carnal mind. We're trying to live in the way that we are supposed to live in Christ now, in our spiritual nature. Number two, you got to refocus your attention on Jesus. I've become the time when I feel myself off track and start having that envy come in my heart, or jealousy, is because I'm paying attention to the wrong things. A lot of times our focus is off. And that's how envy and jealousy gets to creep in. Because when we don't spend time in prayer, when we're not spending time with the word and spending time with the word, what begins to happen is that we subject ourselves to the things of the world. And a lot of times we have that unthink, we start scrolling and then we start playing the whole soapbox over and again. Why? Because we are not content with where we are. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says this: you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The reason why we don't have the peace that we should have, and because jealousy and envy is intruders of that peace. Because your mind is not stayed on him. Because it shows that you don't really trust him. And when you don't trust him, you will be imbalanced. You will not be at peace. You will not be in contentment. You will be subjected to your own thoughts and what you think God has against you instead of what he has for you. You got to refocus your attention. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, to set your mind on things above. Not on things of this earth, not on things that are beneath. Jealousy and envy in the sense of wanting what others have and all of that stuff is me thinking below, not me thinking above. Because when I'm thinking above, I know I have a higher standard. And in knowing that I have a higher standard, that also means that I have a higher reward. And that I know what is down here, while it is good things that God wants me to accomplish here, it's all pointing me to my final destination. You get what I'm saying? You got to refocus your attention. Your attention needs to click back. You got to get your eyes off of certain things and set it towards Jesus. Your eyes on what is not going right. Your eyes on why, on disappointment and the discouragement and resentment. What you need to do is put your eyes on Jesus. And when you put your eyes on him, then he can deal with you where you are. But he can't deal with you and your attention's not on him. Nobody likes to talk to nobody who cannot pay attention. God trying to get your attention. God getting your attention through this message. You don't want to pay attention. Because you're still sitting there thinking about all of this. Even when you're processing this information, you're still thinking about, well, so-and-so or this, this, and that. That your attention is off. Your attention is off. And this is another thing. The reason why your attention is off is because then number three, we get to this, is that you have to develop a life of gratitude and worship. A lot of times we ungrateful. Oh my goodness. Being ungrateful is the byproduct of that. You got jealousy and envy there. You not being grateful is because you have not created an environment of worship. Meaning when you develop a life of gratitude and worship, what you're doing is you're counting your blessings. There's a hymn of the church that says, count your blessings, count them one by one. All right. When we don't count our blessings, ladies and gentlemen, then we fail to see, then we only see God on what he's not doing versus what he's already done. And what he will continue to do. This is why I love what David says in Psalm 103. He makes it plain. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2, he begins to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And I'm going to stop right here. And forget not all his benefits. The reason why we don't have gratitude is because you got amnesia. You done forgotten what he's already done. And you complaining about what he hasn't done. And you look at your life and look at your life. Look at what he's already done. Look at the ways he's already made. And you mad about one little thing that he's telling you to be patient about?
Help us.
Forget not all his benefits. Don't be so fast to forget when you start comparing. Don't be so fast to forget when you start saying, whoa, it's me. Don't be so fast to forget. Your soul has to bless the Lord. He's saying, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. My soul has to bless the Lord and not forget. Don't forget. For the very fact of the matter is we just celebrated resurrection. Number one, that he got up from the cross. That he took the penalty of your sin. Not only that, but then he didn't even just stop there. He said, listen, I'm going to give you a helper, a comforter in the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He's going to be with you always. Leading and guiding you into all truth. Don't you forget. You have to develop a spirit of gratitude. Being thankful for what he has done. And this is where the psalmist starts going in. He says, who forgives of all iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, who satisfies you with good things. You already got satisfied. It's a sign of greed because you're not content with what you have. Number four, what you have to do. Number four, I'm coming to a close. You almost done having to listen to the couch. You got to interrupt your feelings of envy and jealousy. You got to interrupt it. I need you to write this down. Listen to me good. This came to me early this morning. Before I say that, let's do the scripture of Proverbs 14:30. Screenshot this. You need to see this. A sound heart is life to the body. A sound heart is life to the body. But envy is rottenness to the bones. Why? Because with all of that produces anxiety, anger, fear, all of that stuff, and it's not healthy for you mentally. A sound heart is good for your life. It's good for your life. It's good to the body. But envy is rottenness. It rottens. It's not good for your bones. Why? Because the body, ladies and gentlemen, this outward flesh depends on the bones that keeps it up. You're not going to hold up when you got envy there. You're going to be disfigured. Because when certain bones, certain things are not operating right, what's going to happen to your body? It starts shutting down. You get what I'm saying? So write this down. This is important. When you don't interrupt your feelings of envy and jealousy, then you feed your insecurity. When you don't interrupt your feeling of envy and jealousy, then you feed your insecurity. When you do not take the time, when those thoughts start coming to your head, all you do is just continue to feed your insecurity. And in those moments where you didn't, when you do interrupt those feelings of jealousy, what you're doing is feeding your security. So what am I saying? Don't feed your insecurities. You need to feed your security. All of us have things about them that we will be insecure about. But what they teach you in business is focus on your strengths, not your weaknesses. Because there will always be somebody smarter than you. There will always be somebody who's wiser. There will always be somebody there, and you're trying to keep up with that. You can't keep up with that. You just have to be you. You have to appreciate how God has made you. Everyone who God said, I made you fearfully, you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. And when you don't feed your security with the word of God, see, sometimes we don't feel secure in our place in God, so that's why we become insecure. And then we make statements like, well, they got a closer relationship with God. That's why God doing that in their life. That's a lie. That's a lie. The same God that I serve is your God too. Stop using that. That's lame. The same, I serve the same God. And your obedience will give you access to the same benefits because all of us get the same benefits. Now, who God trusts with more is because of where their character is and knowing what they can handle. But you got to be okay with that. God bless me with this because I can handle it for my own self. And as you begin to progress in your relationship with him, he can know that you are okay. You can handle a little bit more. Because I had to tell the truth about myself. I had to be honest. You know, my father told me this one time, and I didn't really want to hear it at the time, but it was true. He told me, say, son, if God really blessed you, or if God really grew the church out the gate in the first year, like you had thought, let me tell you something. Your head would have swollen to a place where nobody would have told you nothing. Yeah. It wasn't good at the moment. I'll be honest. I said, man, go on about your business, bro. You don't know what you're talking about. Nah, it's the truth. First 5 years of our ministry, the roller coaster of emotions, up and down. nothing ever getting gradual, just seeing sprouts of stuff, getting to your head and all of that stuff like that. And it's like, what in the world? Like, listen, you called me in this. I thought we about to first pre-launches. We doing all of this. And God's like, all right, that's a taste, but that ain't going to happen. Wipe that out. I'm going to take you and I'm going to process you the way you need to, because what God is trying to, what I'm just doing, I'm telling you, I was on the couch. So what God wanted to do in my life, for the weight that that God said he wanted to put on my life, you had to go through some strenuous fire and testing so that people can build upon the platform that God has built on you. And they won't stand until you learn how to properly stand and teach them with success. You will always stay humbled before the mighty hand of God because you know what you went through. See, everybody gives all the... Let me tell you something. I was going to put this point there, but I have to say this to you. You want to know another thing that's going to interrupt your envy and jealousy is you got to count the cost. All people do, can I be honest with you? All people do is count the final product of things. What was the result? But you don't see the in between of why that person got to where they are. And so what people do is you look at their beginning, you skip all the middle, and you want to get to the end. You don't know the different mental battles they had to overcome. You don't know the multiple failures they had to do with in the between. And so when you get in your mind like, well, if I had that, no, that's not always the case, because there's a level of perseverance you got to have in the middle. And if you're not willing to persevere, then you're not willing to, then you can hate all you want to, but you're not willing to do the work. So stop saying that you'll be willing to do that. I understand if you are doing the work and you feel a certain type of way, but keep doing the work.
Keep doing it.
Because you'll also have the same testimony. You get what I'm saying? You can't, let me tell you this. You have to make it plain to yourself. I was saying to myself, and you know what? And when you look back, hindsight is always 20/20. Because there were certain individuals that were around that if it had succeeded, they would still be there. And the reason why we are where we are now is because of the fire of those 5 years. Being on the backside of the desert now, look what God is doing. But if I remained in my fields, then we wouldn't be here. Because the problem is when you're constantly trying to compare where you are, everybody God processes differently. God's going to process me differently than you, me differently than you. Because God knows your end from your beginning. And God knows what he has to do in your life in order for you to continue to go. And if you're in a moment right now and you're feeling your heart drift that way, God gave you this word today as a reminder: stand still, be strong, keep persevering, and interrupt those feelings of envy and jealousy. Here's why. Philippians 4, verse 11. I'm closing. Now, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. This is the same verses that are going to, and I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. Why? It's because it starts here. I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. Jealousy and envy is because you have not learned how to be content. And the moment you've learned how to be content, the moment you learn how to be content in where you are, the more you don't have to feel like you have to compare your life where they are. They got married at such and such an age. My clock is ticking. Yo, I want to make this amount of money. I need this type of diet. They doing this. They doing that. So you comparing yourself to that. I got to look like such and such and so. I got to do this, this, and that. And you got that going in your mind because you're not content with what you are. It's nothing wrong with admiring somebody. I'm not telling you that. The problem is when that admiring comes to a place of envy and jealousy and covetedness. That's why I'm very careful of who I'm around. And another thing, you don't show everything you got neither. Listen, I come from the old school of things and the modern thought because I grew up around a lot of old folk. And I had the privilege of hanging out with them a lot early in life. Cousins, cousin Nas here, Vernon, Mooka, Uncle Andis, everybody. And what I begin to learn, what social media does is make you think you got to post everything. People post everything. That's how you get robbed. I don't understand. But then what happens is we invite people in our most close inward sanctuary. And what happens is you got to be careful of who's close by. One of the first sins that happened in heaven because envy was present. Someone saw the glory and wanted it for themselves. And convinced others around to follow. Because they wanted that for themselves. And sometimes people will look at what you got, get around you, see the connections you have, come around, and through the whole 180. That's why you don't always say what you have. You don't always vent your feelings. And you got to be always discerning of who you have around. Because envy and jealous people, that's developed. And in our circles, and I hear this sometimes in counseling folk, I'm really done. But when sometimes in counseling folk, some of y'all know the friends that are that. And know what they have done. But you keep justifying having them around. Stop justifying having them around. That's right. If you got to be alone, be alone. Because the longer you keep them around, don't let the thing take off the way you need to. Don't get the right person. They start to steal your wife or man. People out here like that now. No boundaries.
No boundaries.
Like we talked about on Thursday night. That's a plug for the men. You'd be there next Thursday. Stand to your feet. I'm finished. You got to be careful how you move. When you move by the Spirit, you will see the hand of God like never before. But it starts off, so you got to check you. You got to check yourself. Do I got that envy and jealousy in my heart? Do some homework this week. Seriously. Don't just hear what I said on Sunday. Really look in your life. And say, wherever that is, Lord, I need you to remove that. Or ask God, why am I not content in this area? Sometimes God will tell you because you haven't trusted me with it. You can't be mad about what other people gave God and they trust them with it. He's given us all the same opportunity. It's not his fault that you haven't taken advantage of it. You have to look at you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray right now, God, that you would seal this word in your people's hearts today. I pray right now, God, that you would cleanse us of any of righteousness in our hearts, oh God, today. Purge us of this envy, purge us of this jealousy. Let us begin to discern when our jealousy is not godly so that we can do what we need to do and continue to grow in you. And so, Lord God, I just pray right now, God, that we would stay be content and learn how to be content with where we are and what we have. That we would count our blessings, oh God, because you've already done but so much. You've already made ways, oh God. Let us continue to trust you today. So God, we give it to you today and cast it at your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I want to give you the chance to know Jesus today. If you don't know him, let me tell you something. You can't really control your feelings. You'll be living based on your feelings and not by the Spirit. Jesus came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He died, he was buried, and he rose again so that you may now have peace with God, so that you can have real relationship with the Father. Today, I want to give you that opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Not only that, but if you say, hey, Pastor, I'm already saved, but I drifted away from the Lord. I need to really rededicate my life back to Christ. That opportunity is available for you. God didn't left the situation you did, but his arms are outstretched saying, come back home. Come back home. You're saying, Pastor B, I'm already saved. I got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but I need a church home. Listen, I would love to be your pastor. I would love to do life with you and serve you. Amen. But for those of you, those of you who are not saved, and those of you watching online, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. It's not the prayer that makes you saved, but it's really your heart's confession towards the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I acknowledge I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I acknowledge you died, that you were buried, and that you rose again, and that you ascended to the right hand of the Father just for me. Today, I want to make you the Lord over my life. In Jesus' name. Listen, our pastors are here to receive you. If you made that commitment to, number one, give your life to Christ, you can meet us down at this altar. Number two, if you made a commitment to rededicate your life to Christ, I want you to come out of your seat and meet us at this altar. We want to congratulate you and cheer that you made the best decision of your life. And if number three, you say, hey, I got the first two things, but I need a church home. I want to officially partner with TCF. Our pastors are here to receive you. Amen. If you made that decision, I want you to come out of your seat and let the pastors greet you here as we cheer you on. What's up, Dad? To have the family. Amen. Amen. Well, we want to thank these folks. Give it up for our new partners here at the church. Praise God. Now listen, you can turn to me. You don't have to face them. We are so glad to have you a part of what we're doing here at TCF. We believe God has something great in store for each and every single last one of you. Next Sunday is connection class. Please get with Pastor Dom and register. And we would love to tell you all the values and give you the right hand of the fellowship there. Amen. Y'all give it up for them one more time.